Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I think you could argue we took a step forward, which means we're closer. But I said it the other day in the end of the season wrap-up. I think there's real danger in thinking that because we took a step forward from 24 to 25, if we just roll this back, we'll take another step forward coming out of 25 and heading into 26. We need to look for ways to improve the team. And we have to put all of the options in front of us. The goal hasn't changed. I think we're going to have to look for opportunities to improve the team, and it may come with a little different flavor than what we did last year. But our entire office is committed to doing everything that we can to improve our roster. And I know that our coaches are committed to doing everything that they can to helping our players take another step forward. And our players who got a taste of what it's like to play meaningful baseball in September in Boston and play in a postseason series are hungry for more.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
It's your final hour here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Only go until 9 o'clock tonight. It's the way it's got to be on Fridays, folks. Boomer and Valente. Yeah, what can you do? These guys, they got to have that last hour. They'll be coming your way right at 9 o'clock. You'll also hear them on Sunday morning, right before Football Sunday with myself, Ted Johnson, Megan Ottolini, Chris Scheim, and, of course, Wiggy, Tommy Kern, a lot of other guests and fun stuff that we do, as that will be this Sunday and every Sunday at 10 o'clock right here on WEEI. What you just heard there was Craig Breslow. And while I like Craig Breslow and I like what he did this year, not at the deadline, but I like what he did in the offseason, I feel as though the team is in pretty good hands with him so far. I think he's, acclimated himself pretty well in these 2 years here since the Chaim Bloom era ended. But I'm also officially concerned about the Red Sox lineup in 2026. Bregman opting out just creates so much uncertainty. Trevor Story, if he opts out, that would also create even, I think, a full-blown panic. And I already am panicking a little bit because of Bregman. Bregman opting out, not that I didn't expect him to, but now that it's happened, now that he's basically telegraphed that that's going to be happening, I'm worried they're not going to get him back. And if they don't, I'm worried about this lineup. Not that he was, rocking the lineup this year or anything like that. Certainly not at the end of the season when he was hitting .216 in the month of September. But who are the pillars of this lineup right now? Let's say Bregman's not back. Who is it? Story? Roman Anthony? Jaron Duran? Who are they? I don't know that there's a real answer for that right now. I know people who are going to be in the lineup, and I think Roman Anthony is going to be a pillar of the lineup, obviously. We'll see, when he bounces back and is back out there. I'm sure he's going to become that. Marcelo Meyer, we hope, is going to become that. He's not a pillar in the lineup right now, but he's certainly a guy that I think we're all optimistic about. Christian Campbell, I feel like, is a humongous question mark. Trevor Story, as great of a season as he just had, I don't know if he'll be able to recreate that as he gets, further into his 30s. And Bregman, I'm not sure, is going to be back. I don't know if Jaron Duran's going to be back. Sidon Rafaela will be back. Is he a pillar of the lineup? No. Sidon Rafaela was kind of schmeh this year. He had that one really hot stretch, and he looked great. And then he couldn't put the bat on the ball for about 2 months. He hit that great triple to send him to the playoffs. That was awesome. That walk-off triple was awesome. And he had some other clutch moments this year. But you look at his numbers, He's a young player, so you hope he's going to get better. But, you know, like, I don't know that a repeat of, like, Jackie Bradley Jr. out there is exactly what you're hoping for when you're talking about mainstay guys, pillars in the lineup, young players that you want to stay and play here for a long time. And I don't mean that to pick on Sedan Rafael, but I just mean that that's sort of where this team is right now. You know, you have a lot of young players who you know are going to be here. Willier Abreu, Rafaela, the kids I just mentioned, and Anthony and Meyer and maybe Campbell, I guess. Tristan Cassis is another one. I don't know what Tristan Cassis is going to be this year. I have no idea. I like to think he can bounce back and give you something. He definitely seemed like the potential was there a couple years back, but that's a couple years back now. And that was a rough injury that he suffered. So, you know, you go Narvaez, like, Narvaez, I think, is a good catcher and, you know, gold glove candidate and hit for some power this year and I think was a great pickup. But is he a pillar of the lineup? Like, outside of Roman Anthony, I don't know that you really have one. I don't know that you have one. Story comes back, then sure, he can be one too. But I think that if you're going to go into 2026 expecting Roman Anthony and Trevor Story to be your two main bats, like, that's a risky proposition, isn't it? Is Jarren Duran going to be back? Do you think Jarren Duran's going to be back, Joe?
I don't think he'll be back. Me personally, I think he needs to be traded because of that outfield surplus.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the odd man out for
They
me.
Definitely have an outfield surplus. I question whether or not he should be the odd man. I guess that's all. Because obviously Roman Anthony's not going anywhere, but if it's between him, Rafaela, and Abreu, both of those guys are considerably better defensive outfielders, sure. And Abreu was, you know, hit for more power this year, and before he got hurt, he was on pace to hit, like, you know, 28, 29 home runs, or whatever it was. But, you know, Jarren Duran is someone who's accomplished something in this. You know what I mean? Like, he was an MVP candidate. He had two entire seasons that were better than anything Rafael has ever come close to and better than anything Abreu's ever done. So I understand. I mean, he's one of the older guys, and, you know, you got a couple more arbitration years with him, and I think that if he sticks around and you go through those arbitration hearings with Jarren Duran, things could turn ugly with that. I think Jarren Duran runs hot, boy. You know, like, you get him in a room, you got him over there, and you got the Red Sox telling him all the different reasons why they want to not pay him what he wants. Like, I just feel like that's a, you know, that's a bit of a tinderbox of a situation right there. So who's it going to be? We're all concerned about the pitching staff, and we keep hearing about the pitching staff and who's going to be added to the rotation, et cetera. But I look at the lineup, and I'm terrified. I'm terrified of what this group is sort of shriveling up into right now. Because we don't know exactly what's going to happen with the Ref Snyders and the Romy Gonzalez's of the world and, you know, all those guys. I you know, wouldn't be against keeping them, but I don't know. You know, these are role players. These are guys that you could maybe, you know, get something for in a trade, or maybe you want to keep around, or maybe you just don't feel all that strongly about one way or the other. I would imagine if you asked Alex Cora, he'd probably tell you, you know, mixing and matching every single night and having 175 different lineups can get old after a while. You know, it can just kind of wear on you when you just don't. There was only a couple of times when the lineup even repeated, like, day to day, where they would have the same lineup as they had the day before. That was, like, from what I remember doing the games, like, three or four times, handful of times that I remember them being the same lineup two straight games. It just never happened. And if I'm Alex Cora, it's like, you know, all right, it's 2025 and we all got to play with sabermetrics and we all got to, you know, work for the best matchups and put in different guys against different pitchers and blah, 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 blah. But at some point, wouldn't you like to, at the very least, know that you got this guy leading off, you got this guy hitting second, and then, you know, unless it's a major, or a day off, scheduled day off or an injury or something like that, you know that this is who's going to be there and that they're going to be producing and that you can rely on them and count on them, and that's the way it is. Like, that's just not something the Red Sox really ever had this year. For a while, it was, you know, it was Duran, Bregman, Devers, 1-2-3, or, you know, some combination of those three at the top. That sort of got shaky through the first couple months. Devers gets traded. And then it was just every single night it was something new. And you had to ride the hot hand. You had to do all these things. And again, I'm not naive. It's 2025. I understand that this is the way the game is played now. This is the way the game is managed. This is the way the teams are built. But I also think you've left yourself now without any real stalwarts in the lineup. It was so heavily dependent on matchups and platoon players and this and that, whatever, that now I feel like the cupboard's kind of bare. It's a little bit bare. Roman Anthony, when he comes back from his injury, I have no doubt he is going to go back into that batter's box and be an on-base machine just like he was when he was up here. I have no doubt about that. But you need more than Roman Anthony. You need more than Roman Anthony in 33, 34, or whatever he's going to be next year, Trevor Story. And you may even need more than Alex Bregman if he does end up coming back. Like, if you bring Bregman back, that doesn't solve all these problems. That doesn't set my mind at ease. But the fact that he's opting out, and now your chances of retaining him go way down than they would have if you had just, you know, extended him or something. Like, not that Boris was ever going to let you do that. But you know what I mean? Like, that makes it just all the more uncertain. There's a lot of uncertainties with this team right now. And I'm not sure exactly what or how Craig Breslow can go about addressing this. What I'm worried is that he's just going to go into the offseason and pluck a bunch of role players again. It's going to be a whole new cast of role players, and I'm not going to go over what names it could be because it could be anybody. Anybody with a nice righty-lefty split. Anybody with, you know, the ability to play more than one position. And you'll get a bunch of utility guys with, you know, random righty-lefty splits who you play, you know, once or twice a week, and you mix and match them all year long, and they're just going to go back and do that again instead of really investing into some established MLB righty or lefty hitters. You know, that's what I'm worried about. I can deal with Rafael in the line. I can deal with some of these other guys, but not if it's all sort of just hoping and praying that role players and platoon guys can continue to do what they did this past year, which they did pretty well, but not well enough to go past the wild card round.
Question for you then, because yes. It sounds like you still have some PTSD on how the ownership has acted and what they've signed previous to last year.
Mm-hmm.
1 year almost. It was December that they made the Crochet trade, and that was like the first year that they were like, it felt like something was different. It does this offseason have to be good for you to put those fears in the rearview mirror? Because then that will have been a full calendar year, of course, not including the trade deadline that was subpar. I feel like if you trade for Crochet, you sign Bregman, you make these other aggressive mm-hmm. moves in the offseason, you can officially point to, okay, this team is legit going to start trying for real this time. But it still feels like you and maybe some other fans have some PTSD, and that might not have to go away until they actually do something this offseason.
Yeah, maybe. I think what it is that this offseason I look at and I don't see the same kind of hype. I don't see the same kind of hype in this offseason class. Now, you know, Pete Alonso actually hits the market. Kyle Schwarber actually hits the market. Who else? Tucker actually hits the market. You know, like, if these guys actually make it to the market and the Red Sox have a legitimate chance to get into a bidding war and try and sign them, then okay. But something tells me they're not going to make it. I just don't think so. You know, I'd like it if they did. I'd love for the Sox to bring Schwarber back. I'd love Pete Alonso on this team. These are the kind of guys I'm talking about, by the way. The Alonzos and the Schwarbers of the world, not platoon players. Guys that you have in the lineup every single night and you expect 30, 40, 50, 60 home runs from. You know, like, that's what I'm talking about. That's how I think this has to be. That's how you have to look at this offseason. That I think, is the way that that this has to go.
Can I also just provide a reason as to why maybe those guys might not be going? You got to keep in mind that next offseason, there's a lockout coming.
It's true.
And Lou, who joined Afternoons earlier in the week, actually provided a reason for why guys would want to be a free agent, not be a free agent in the near future. So just listen to Lou here.
So the current CBA is up next December 1st. So next year it's fine, whatever. But I just feel like the owners feel like they kind of have a chance to get a salary cap. I think the union's going to fight it with the attendance and ratings and everything else. And I think it's going to be, I think 100% is going to be a lockout. And when they get that thing resolved, but as we all know, nothing gets done until a deadline. So a deadline will be in somewhere in February to where, like, oh, maybe we don't miss games, but when does it get straightened out? And do you want to be a free agent next offseason? And then when it does get straightened out and all of a sudden it's March 16th and now you got 150 free agents trying to figure out where they're playing, I don't think anybody wants a part of that. So I would not opt in going into next year, having a big year, and be like, yeah, this is the year to opt out. No, actually, it's not, unless you want to just sit around for 5 months and not know where you're going to be playing when it all gets resolved.
Interesting. That's an interesting point by Lou there. And, you know, for next year, next offseason, that could be a major factor. And I think for the Red Sox, you know, I mean, you got to be looking down the road. You got to be looking ahead to what the way these negotiations may go. If there's another lockout, oh, would that be – I mean, there probably is going to be. But what a just self-inflicted gunshot to the foot that would be for the Major League Baseball. You're finally getting some momentum back. People are watching these playoffs. You're getting young people interested again, and you're going to go back to the negotiating table and have another lockout? Like, really? So typical of Major League Baseball. It really is. They just don't know how to do anything anymore. They really don't. Even when something good starts to happen, it's just, nope, got to cut that off. Can't have anything good. Can't have any progress. Can't have any growth. No. Let's have another lockout. That's what the fans really want. Fans really want another lockout. They really want to hear about us complaining about whatever it is that the problems are. And I know there's a lot of problems, obviously, but, man, you know, going all the way back to the days of Donald Fear and the old negotiations and the lockouts and all of that, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I'm ready for that now. Now that the Red Sox are good again and that, you know, Major League Baseball is actually taking some steps towards getting their young viewership back. You want to undo all of that progress? Have another lockout. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Joe Braverman is going to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, it's an 8:30 edition of the Arcan Fire.
Boomer Esiason joins the Greg Hill Show Mondays at 8. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots' final injury report is out as they travel to Nashville tomorrow to face the Titans in Tennessee this Sunday. Four players are listed as questionable. Receiver Stephon Diggs is the headliner, though. He was limited all week with a chest injury. Also questionable are safety Jalen Hawkins, pass rusher Harold Landry, and cornerback Charles Woods. On the other side for Tennessee, top receiver Calvin Ridley has already been ruled out. He has a hamstring injury. Linebacker Draymond Jones and defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat are questionable. Some other injuries around the NFL. Receivers Puka Nacua and Terry McLaurin have been ruled out. Jets receiver Garrett Wilson is doubtful. Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy will be the emergency third QB. And Brock Purdy is out for the third straight game. That means Mac Jones will get the start for the 49ers. Bruins fell late last night to the Golden Knights 6-5 to start their quick West Coast road trip. They'll play the first of a back-to-back tomorrow night in Colorado against the Avalanche. In the MLB postseason, they're in the top of the seventh in Game 5 of the ALCS. 2-1, the Blue Jays lead the Mariners. That series is tied at 2-game apiece. George Springer tied things up with an RBI double. Ernie Clement, the only Ernie in baseball, as one Arcan likes to point out, had an RBI single in the sixth to give Toronto the lead. Later on tonight, the Dodgers will try to sweep the Brewers in Game 4 of the NLCS from L.A. First pitch in a little less than 20 minutes from now. 8:38, Jose Quintana, Shohei Ohtani is their pitching matchup. Boston College Hockey currently on the road facing RPI. You can list that game in progress over on WEEI AM 850. Boston College Football hosts UConn from Alumni Stadium tomorrow. Kickoff is at noon. Coverage begins at 11:30 right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. And the Revolution play their season finale tomorrow at home against the Chicago Fire. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is at 6. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. Phone number 617-779-7937. Everything on the table here, whatever you want. We do have the Celtics starting up on Wednesday. We will have some regular Celtics guests coming on. And we'll talk about other things Celtics related other than that media game. Although, I'll give Joe Mazzulla a lot of credit. We're talking a lot more Celtics than we would have been otherwise in the week leading up to this season that people are kind of iffy about. And I know we'll see what happens with Jaylen Brown and the injury, but that was a nice little piece of red meat for people like me. Anyways, it's almost 8:30, so let's get to it. It's time for the Arcan Fire.
It's time for Arcan Fire on the Christian Arcan Show. This is WEEI.
Let's close this week on a high note, shall we? Let's talk about that MLB postseason. I know we talked about it not too long ago that Seattle was in the driver's seat, but here we are, game five of the ALCS. Series tied at 2, Blue Jays leading 2-1. Are you changing your thoughts about the MLB postseason? Who's making the World Series?
No, I'm still sticking with my Mariners. Although I will say this would be quite a comeback from Toronto. If they're able to come back from being down 0-2 and then going on the road, if they can win a series after that, that would be something. That would be the type of thing that, you know, it'd be hard to bet against. Even against a team like the Dodgers, who are making the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, has the Brewers gotten a hit in this series? Seems like they get no hit every game. I know they haven't actually gotten no hit, but like three games, 9 hits, I think, in total. Like, that's pathetic. They are coming up very, very small here. Meanwhile, the Dodgers are looking like a team that belongs, looking like a team that could potentially, if things keep going their way, and they've certainly positioned themselves for this, but they've positioned themselves to be the next baseball dynasty, the Dodgers have. And they can do it. They can do it even if they lose a couple players. You know, they can rebuild. They have a pretty good farm system, even with all the moves that got made. They have unlimited funds and deferred money and all this other stuff. And I think they're right now positioning themselves and are in very good position. Look what they're doing to the Brewers. The Brewers can't score a run off them. They're getting absolutely owned. So, yeah, I mean, whatever happens here in the American League, and I'd like to see the Mariners do it, and I still think they can. I still think they will. Even if they lose this one tonight, I think they can still come back and win. I just think they're better, and I think the Blue Jays pitching is going to run out.
Well, not all hope is lost, though, for the Brewers, because guess who made a call to Pat Murphy after the Brewers went down 3-0?
Who would that be?
That would be one Joe Torre.
Oh.
Bob Nightingale, Hall of Fame manager Joe Torre, telephoned Brewers manager Pat Murphy this morning to provide tips on when facing the kind of adversity that they are up against.
Joe Torre. How old is Joe Torre? 80? It's got to be in his 80s, right? He was in his, I don't know how old he was back in those years. He seemed like an old man back then.
He's currently 85.
85, all right. That sounds about right. 20 years away from those. Dan, he was, you know, he wasn't young back then either. He's in his 60s. I guess he must have been if he's 85 now. Well, that's good. I bet the advice was, hey, try hitting the ball. Try a base hit. See if you can maybe string together a couple of base hits. It's a strategy I think could be a winning one for you guys.
It is kind of funny for Torre because it's 21 years to the day that the Sox won that game 4 and turned that series around.
Oh, the Dave Roberts steal, that
yeah.
game?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That was a great moment. All right, yeah, that's my thoughts right there. I mean, I think the American League series is pretty interesting, but whoever gets through is probably just going to be chew toy for the Dodgers, and I think the Dodgers are fixed to be the next dynasty in the sport.
I would have called them lunch meat, but that's okay. I want to stick with baseball here. There's apparently a little something brewing maybe in Detroit. I don't know if you've read the details regarding Tarek Skubal. Lots of uncertainty heading into his walk here. What I first want to do is play from the end of season press conference that the Tigers had. This is General Manager Scott Harris when he's asked about Tarek Skubal's contract situation.
Tarek is obviously going into the final year of his controllability. How much of a decision point is that this offseason? Or are you just, are you kind of prepared to go into the season with him and see how it rolls that way?
Yeah, I totally understand the question, and I understand that you have to ask me. I've kind of learned over time, especially with this question, that general comments tend to get chopped up and forced into narratives. I can't comment on our players being traded. I can't comment on free agents, and I can't comment on other teams' players. So I'm going to respond by just not actually commenting on it. Tarek is a Tiger. I hope he wins the Cy Young for the second consecutive year. He's an incredible pitcher, and we're lucky to have him. That's all I can say on that.
So Scott Harris, mum on the contract situation with Scooble. Then there was the report a couple of days ago that the two sides are off, and I mean off, like $200 to $250 million on
last
contract.
Year, right? And they talked about an extension last year, and that was the difference in the extension.
Essentially,
talk, right? It was like a $250 million.
Essentially.
Gap.
So, two-part question for you on this one. Do you think the Tigers will trade Tarek Skubal in his final year? And if they decide to make the trade, would you like to see the Red Sox interested in it?
Obviously, I'd like to see the Red Sox interested in Tarek Skubal. There's no way. He's going to get a record-breaking deal from that team. The Detroit Tigers are going to pay him a record-breaking contract. There's no way that they would move on from him. They have found a diamond in this kid. I mean, he's that good. He's the real deal. Not that, you know, Crochet isn't or that other pitchers aren't, but like he's the best. I mean, he's the best in the American League. He's the best pitcher in the American League. Crochet is right there next to him. I mean, it's not like he's head and shoulders better than everybody, but I think Tarek Skubal, the best pitcher in the league, he's been the best pitcher in the league for a couple of years. And if the Tigers cheap out on him, I mean, listen, last offseason they had a big gap in the extension. They didn't have to extend them yet. You know, that's kind of the way it works sometimes. With big ticket guys like that, you go in a year early and you say, hey, you know, we'll give you an extension, but it'll be this because this is what we think is good right now. And Skubal says, hell no, I'm going to wait another year and you're going to have to up your price. And that's what's going to end up happening. The Tigers aren't going to let him go. They would be, you know, like I don't think they could, as an organization, survive that. You know, there's no way. They did have a pretty bad fall off this year, but you know what? They made it to the second round, and they gave Toronto a pretty good series in that division series. Or not Toronto, Seattle. So, you know, I think that there's players in the past who have been moved before, and there have been organizations in the past, the Red Sox, who decided they couldn't pay their best guy in Mookie Betts, and they went on to trade him. I don't think the Tigers will do that. I don't think any team's going to do that again. I think those days are over, especially with teams that are competing. If you're on a bad team, if you're on a middling team, you got a great player like that, and you end up trading them, okay. Even that, I think, is starting to happen less and less. But on good teams, I just think it's basically impossible. I would be astonished if he leaves Detroit.
We don't really talk a lot of college football on this program, aside from Bill Belichick.
From Jordan, yeah.
Jordan and Belichick. But I want to pick your brain here, of course. We got a couple of games going on right now and some later on. Louisville is up on number 2 Miami right now at halftime. Mm-hmm. UNC is actually going to be playing later tonight against Cal. But for this weekend, what are you looking forward to the most when it comes to college football?
Honestly, nothing. I'm not looking at anything this weekend. I am not really that involved in the college football landscape this year, mainly because my Buffaloes are kind of schmeh. You know, it all sort of, with me, starts with the Buffaloes, and this year they're just kind of okay. And I think, are they on a bye this week? I think they're actually on a bye this week. So, I don't know. I mean, this college football season, I think, has been an interesting one just because of all the upsets and, you know, Indiana and what they're doing and sort of all that. That Indiana-Michigan State game, I mean, that'll be something. But, you know, Indiana's going to smoke them. They just re-upped their coach. There's not a lot of great matchups this weekend. I think LSU-Vanderbilt's one of the few games of two ranked teams.
Ole Miss and Georgia.
Ole Miss and Georgia is another one on Saturday. That could be a good one. But you know, I mean, the other like top teams are all sort of just playing these pushovers. Virginia's playing Washington State, Oregon, Rutgers, Texas Tech, and Arizona State. You know, I don't know. It's not that the Ole Miss and Georgia will be a good one, and I'll probably sit down and watch part of LSU and Vanderbilt on Saturday, but overall, I don't know. This isn't a weekend that really jumps up and grabs me that much.
Hadouken! Okay, that's a note for next time. And if the Buffs aren't good, we don't talk college football.
Yeah, just, I don't know. I mean, give me this season, it hasn't really been all that compelling to me.
All right, well, I'll pivot here. Arkin, are you familiar with the Netflix show that follows the lives of NBA players known as Starting Five?
I'm familiar with it. I have not watched it.
Okay.
I'm aware of it. I remember when it was like Tatum, Jimmy Butler, I forget who the other guys were, but I remember when they were talking about launching it, yeah.
Well, they just released season 2 on Netflix, and one of the players they follow, I should say, is Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown had some interesting comments here that were circulating between him and Joe Mazzulla. Take a listen to these two going back and forth with each other.
I mean, there's times like coming into a huddle where he's like shadow boxing, and I'm just like, I love that. I think it's great. But to me, that's like his way of like getting locked in.
So I asked Jalen if he would win in a fight.
He's going to say him.
I think Joe has a level of craziness, but I think my level of craziness might surpass what he's ever seen before.
He may win in one fight, but either he's going to win or we're both going to die.
You know, it'll be a respectable death.
If I'm going to taste death, you're coming with me.
So we know what you'll do with Joe Mazzulla if you get on a basketball court, but who would you take in a fight between Jaylen Brown and Joe Mazzulla?
Well, I mean, Jaylen Brown's obviously in better shape and the bigger, stronger guy than Joe Mazzulla. But when he's like, Joe Mazzulla's crazy, but I'm a level of crazy Joe Mazzulla. No, you're not, Jalen. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Joe Mazzulla is not pretending. You know, you can tell. You can tell pretty quick. Like, from not even having ever spoken a word to him, I could tell that he's not playing a role. Like, it's not like Andy Kaufman playing some character here. Joe Mazzulla is really like that. I don't know if Jaylen Brown's really like that. Jaylen Brown is very smart and very well spoken. You know, I mean, he has all these sort of things going for him, and I think that that sometimes maybe overshadows his competitiveness because he's so soft spoken and thoughtful and all that stuff. And I think those are all good qualities about him. I don't always agree with everything he says, but I think he has like a strong delivery and a strong presence and all of that, and that's fine. But when we're having a crazy off between him and Joe Mazzulla, what are you, nuts? Like, I feel like Joe Mazzulla is like almost in that like Rodman area, you know, or like that Artest area where they're functioning adults and they're like people who can, you know, function in society. But there's just a little, just any minute, you don't know what he's going to do next. He keeps it together. You know, he goes to the grocery store and he gets his groceries and nothing happens. He goes home and that's fine. But you never really know what could happen next with him. And I feel like with Jaylen Brown, that's not really the case. Like, Jaylen Brown's a good player and a tough competitor and all that stuff, but, like, him and Mazzulla, like, crazy, out-crazying each other? Like, in a fight, Brown would beat Mazzulla in a fight.
If I'm going to taste death, you're coming with me.
But I also believe Joe when he says that, too. You know? Like, I was talking about playing dirty in a basketball game, like throwing elbows or something like that. Joe Mazzulla in a street fight with Jaylen Brown would be doing the type of tactics and techniques that, you know, you maybe wouldn't bring out if you were fighting someone your own size. Like, that's sort of what I mean there. So, yeah, that would be a good one. But I think ultimately Jaylen would prevail if it was just a straight-up street fight. If it was, you know, a fight to the death. Mazzulla might have that extra gear. I don't know that Jaylen Brown has.
It's time to go behind the glass for the producer's point on the Christian Arcan Show. Here's Joe Braverman.
Well, luckily there's no fighting on this show. And I'll tell you, I'll just give you my game pick since obviously you're going to be on Football Sunday with the crew.
Yes, sir, I will.
So here's what I'm thinking. Patriots and Titans. Last week I thought that the Patriots would wipe the floor with the Saints, and that they would win by at least two scores. I was wrong, obviously. Saints were a lot more tougher than I thought. I am going to take what I thought would happen in that game and just transition it 1 week to this game, because I didn't have faith in the Saints.
So you're recycling an old take from last week.
I'm just
slapping it on the producer's take today.
I'm just moving it to this one. I'm just telling you my expectation.
That's you're recycling it.
Pretty much.
This is a recycle job.
It's
like a rerun.
Pretty much, but I'm going to do it with more conviction.
All right.
I believe that the Pats are easily going to have their way. Tennessee, not only are they a bad team, but they're missing a lot of pieces. Obviously, Calvin Ridley is maybe the most talented piece that they have, and he's not even going to play.
Not playing, yep.
So Gonzo's going to have an easy day. Carlton Davis, Marcus Jones. I think this is going to be a runaway for the Patriots down in Nashville. Maybe they'll go out to Broadway, have a couple of drinks with Mike Vrabel, saying, hey, guess what? You stuck it to your old team. So this is going to be an easy Patriots win. 31-15 is my prediction for the final score.
All right, there you go. It's Joe Braverman with the producer's point. You ever been to Nashville?
I actually went not this past March, but a couple of years ago.
How was it?
It was great.
I really think I'd enjoy Nashville. Everybody I know who's ever gone there has raved about it. I know it's like a big hot spot for bachelorette parties and stuff like that or whatever, but like that main street with all the bars, like I hear, is like a lot of fun.
Yeah, Broadway is it's literally one bar on top of another, and they're all named after a country music artist.
That makes sense. That sounds like New Orleans except for the country music part, but that's just, you know, I like that type of environment.
Yeah, I would recommend
I'm probably aging out of it these days.
I would recommend it though. I would recommend a trip to Nashville. I think you'd like it.
I bet I would. All right, there you go. That is the producer's point. That is the Arcan Fire. We got a couple of minutes left. We will have a clickbait for you to close things out. Then it's Boomer and Valente for the final hour, and then you're going to hear me again on Sunday with Football Sunday. But first, we got clickbait coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. It's time for clickbait. This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
All right, a couple of minutes left here, Christian Arcan Show. Then we make way for Boomer and Valente, taking you up until 10 o'clock for clickbait tonight. As many of you may or may not know, I worked with Adam Jones for many years here and also at the other station years ago. And one thing I learned about Jones, and this is something that goes back predating my time with working with him and his first show, initial show with Keith, is that he's really into aliens. Really into aliens, UFOs. It's a big interest of his. And it's not a big interest of mine. Although working with Jones and really seeing his legitimate interest in it made me more interested in it, just because, you know, you work with somebody and you hear him talking about things all the time, and we did a bunch of stories on it and all that stuff, and I would play along, but it never really, you know, tickled my fancy all that much. But that, the more I got into it, the more I sort of was, I don't want to say a believer, I don't say I'm a total believer, but I became more of one. And it took a while to get there, because when I was in college, I went on a couple of dates with this girl who, on the third date, which normally is, you know what the third date is, this third date, instead of that, we went to a UFO convention, and it was her idea. She had a whole bunch of friends who were at the UFO convention, and I've never been more uncomfortable. I did not want to be there. We went to all these different, I don't even know what to call them. It was sort of like, you remember the science fair at your school where you'd have like a cardboard, you know, trifold thing, and you'd put like, you know, it was like a volcano, and here's my thing with the volcano. It was like a bunch of those, but it was all about these wild conspiracies. And some of them didn't even have to do with UFOs. It was just a bunch of freaks, basically. It was a bunch of weirdos. And I just didn't want to be there. And I always had like a negative association with UFO culture since then. But now that's changed. I've grown as a person. I've grown as a, I don't want to say believer, but maybe open to believing certain things about potential supernatural life, extraterrestrial life. Well, coming up here pretty soon, we're all going to be believers, because there is a documentary coming out, and it is not just a, you know, pie in the sky type of documentary. It's called Age of Disclosure, and it is a documentary featuring dozens of government and military insiders recounting paranormal is not the right word, but extraterrestrial, non-human beings and ships. And we have a release date for this. It's coming out on Prime Video, and we have a trailer.
We've had repeated instances of something operating in the airspace.
That's Marco
over
Rubio, by the way.
Nuclear facilities. And it's not ours.
These are otherworldly things that are performing maneuvers that haven't been seen. I have seen with my own eyes non-human craft and non-human beings.
This is so secret, there have been very few people in our entire government that have been allowed or provided access to it.
Even presidents have been operating on a need-to-know basis, but that begins to ramp out of control.
Okay. The documentary's press release promises a strong case for aliens living among us. Featuring, you heard Marco Rubio there, Kirsten Gillibrand from, I think, Arizona, is in the video as well. A lot of people, military, Air Force, people flying planes, seeing these things, doing crazy maneuver. You heard them talking about it there. I always thought, and I always said, that while I'm not the biggest believer in these things, if a politician were to run on the platform of, we will tell you all about what's going on with the aliens, this was the agreement Jones and I both had in the previous show, was that regardless of party, regardless of political beliefs, really, any political beliefs, one thing you could do to earn our vote is to promise to release the alien files. Now, I know there's some other files that people want released, maybe a little bit more right now, okay? It's another story for another show. Not going to get into that tonight. Not going to lay all that on you. But the alien files? We'll see what Prime Video's got for us here. If they're making the case that the aliens are among us and living among us and with us right now, and that, you know, who knows, the producer on your show could be an alien. You know, I have no idea. Are you an alien, Joe?
No, I am not a alien Christian Arcand.
Okay. I know you're being sarcastic there, but I don't know if aliens know sarcasm. They've been around a while, it sounds like.
So they could have picked up on it.
If there were aliens, I feel like we'd have a picture of one. We'd have a picture of an alien. Unless they can really blend in among us, you know? That's the thing. That's the one of those things. Like, you need to have a little bit of evidence. You need to have something that we can all look at. Something we can all look at and say, see, here it is. There's the alien. All this time, and not one picture of an alien. Now, you could say, well, you know, you can't distinguish them. You got the tall grays, you got the small grays, you got the Nordics, you got the lizard people, you got all these different kinds of aliens. Look it up. These are all real terms, by the way. I learned all this from Jones. I didn't know any of this. Tall grays, small grays, Nordics, look it up. This is what the alien people believe. And when I say alien people, not the people who are aliens, but like the people who are into that stuff, that's what they believe. And I always thought that was pretty dumb.
They refer to them as common humanoids.
Humanoids, yeah. Yeah. Lately, with all the drones and like the weather balloons and the spy balloons and like all this stuff that's satellites and all this crap floating around in the atmosphere, I think that there's been a big uptick in stuff that people think are UFOs, people think are aliens, but I don't know. Still skeptical. I'm still a big-time UFO skeptic, but I'm looking forward to seeing this. I am going to watch this documentary with much interest and see exactly what they got.
And you're going to come back and have a firm opinion on whether aliens are real.
I want to see the president or somebody just slap an alien down on a table and say, here's your alien. There it is. See, you've been waiting for this. That's the moment we're all waiting for. The alien on the table. I don't think I'm going to see it in this documentary, but I will watch it. And that's all the time we have here tonight. This has been the Christian Arcand Show. Stick around. Boomer and Valente coming your way next. You can hear me again at 10 a.m. Football Sunday. Ted Johnson, Megan Ottolini, Chris Scheim, Wiggy, Tommy Curran. It's going to be a big old party, so don't miss it. We'll be there at 10, and I'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Good night, now.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.